Welcome back to From the Press Box, the Holland Sentinel Sports Staff's weekly podcast where we talk anything and everything sports. I'm sports editor Dan Diodano, along with our assistant sports editor, Will Kennedy. Will, we're in the middle of basketball playoff run here for everything. As the big teams get ready for the big dance, we are ready for the smaller dances and the high school dances and anything else having to do with dancing and basketball, apparently. So we got the girls' districts have started. The boys' districts start next week. The Hope teams are in the NCAA tournament, which starts this week, just finishing up their MIAA tournaments. And the GLIAC tournament for Grand Valley basketball starts this week as well. So it is, we're just about in the all postseason all the time situation, going from 6 days of basketball or 5 or 6 days of basketball to 7 days of basketball since Grand Valley plays on Sunday. likely plays on Sunday, assuming that the women get to the final, which they should. They're the number two team in the country. Yeah. So let's start with the Hope basketball teams. One of the Saturday was one of the most epic days in the history of Hope basketball. We had the men beat Calvin for the MIAA tournament title and automatic bid. And the women went down to Trine and won by 4 another epic game with Trine between two of the top three, right? They're number two and number three teams in the country. So good that both teams are hosting.
Yeah.
As they should.
I was going to say right
in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament in different parts of the bracket. So, Will, let's start. I mean, we'll start with you. Went down. You made the epic trip to Trine to see an amazing game. I mean, these games really live up to the hype every single time now.
Yeah.
Hope was up a little, down a little, up a little, down a little. You know, there were times where it looked, you know, like they could run away if they had a couple good possessions in a row, but then there are also times where it looked like it was getting away from them.
Yeah.
How were they able to get it done?
Yes. I mean, the cliche around basketball is that it's like, you know, a game of runs, and this game, particularly the first three quarters, was entirely that. So it was like in a game that's 2-3 against the country in the country, you expect like trading buckets here and there, you know, maybe a 5-2 run or something like that. But you expect for the most part to be trading buckets. This game was not that at all. The game opened on a Hope 6-0 run, then Trine went on a 10-0 run, then Hope came back on a 6-0 run. It was just a lot of X to O runs up into the third quarter. And then Hope was up by 7 points right after halftime, which was the biggest lead either team had all game. Tells you how close it was. I mean, 7 points seemed like a million points at that point. But then Trine went on a 15-3 run to really I can't do math in my head, but they had a slight lead at that point after that. Then Hope just kind of battled back, but it was really impressive. It battled back obviously to win with 4 points. And there were some really impressive plays and players who don't normally, you know, get all the hype and recognition. Like normally it's obviously Sidney Muller, Olivia Voskal, Kate Majerus and Kenny Schoonfeld who get all that hype, but there are players who don't fall into that category, who just made incredible plays and kept them in it. Like Ella McKinney led the team with 13 points in the first half alone. She didn't score any points in the second quarter, but she sort of held the offense afloat when everybody else was struggling. Casey DeSmit didn't score for the first 38 minutes of the game, but she drilled two back-to-back threes to give Hope the lead with like a minute and a half left in the game. And then Olivia Voskal hit the greatest swat I've ever seen in my life. It was just so authoritative with about 10 seconds left in the game. And that really sealed the deal. One of the Trine players was going up. Michaela Artis was going up to shoot a three to bring the score within one. And Olivia Voskal just closed. She was like 3 feet, like 3 steps away, and just closed like a freight train and just swatted the living hell out of the ball. It went into like the first row of the stands. It was incredible. And that moment sort of sealed the deal for Hope. There wasn't enough time to get 4 points barring a foul. And obviously they weren't going to foul at that point.
For sure. Interesting. We had a similar swat the heck out of the ball situation in the men's game. There was a shot that went up, and Kennedy's brother Eli Schoonveld leapt out of nowhere and swatted the ball into the stands. I mean, from right by the basket. It was like, it was the whole, I mean, the DeVos Fieldhouse was packed. It was nearly a sellout, and it was loud and raucous in there. And that was just the moment of collective gasp, you know, because no one could really see that happening in real time. And I was watching right where that all took place. And all of a sudden he just came out of nowhere. It was very impressive. But yeah, similar kind of situation with the men's team. They were playing, you know, Calvin, it was close for a while. Then they started, you know, hitting a few threes. They hit a few threes in a bunch and kept the lead. Tanner Wiegerink had a huge game, hit a couple threes, but also had four block shots himself.
Yeah.
And Schoenveld had three. So, I mean, between the two of them, seven blocks, that's a lot. I've never seen somebody, I think Schoenveld had eight rebounds, three blocks, and 0 points, and was possibly the most important player in the game with 0 points. I've never seen that in a game of that magnitude where the key figure might have 0 points in the game. But it was, you know, he came in and they needed him even more than normal because Joshua Lilja hurt his ankle in the first half, like early in the first half, and he didn't return. So they're out another starter, and Schoenveld played a ton, and he did a great job. And 20 points each for Clayton Dykhouse and Evan Thomas, which, you know, the MVP Evan Thomas.
Only 20 points for Evan Thomas. That seems low.
Only 20, and he had a double-double again, shocker.
That kid's just insane.
He's so good. I mean, like, he's a guard, and he led the MIAA in rebounding. Like, that is so crazy. But Dykhouse played one of his best games. Very cool to see, too, just from a local reporter's perspective. I mean, Wiegerink is from – he had his best game of the year. He's from West Ottawa. Dykhouse had one of his best games. He's from Zeeland East. Schoenveld's from Holland Christian. They all grew up playing against each other for the most part. Yeah. But to see – I mean, we have it at the women's side, too, with Voskal and Kennedy Schoenveld, and both from Holland Christian, and then Meg Morehouse from Zeeland East. Like – There's been more of that with the as far as multiple people with the women's program lately. I mean, we had Dante Hawkins from Holland, who was a really great player at Hope.
Even Sydney, I mean, she's from just Grand Rapids, so I'm sure they played each other in out of conference.
Right. It's just really cool to see. When Hope men's basketball has been at its best, they're getting the best players locally.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when they made the run to the Final Four, however many years ago it was now, the men, I can't remember now, maybe a decade, 12 years ago, something like that. I mean, they had at least three players that were local players on the team, maybe more. So it's just kind of cool to see them all, you know, step up in the big game against Calvin, you know, with everything on the line. Now, the funny part of it is Calvin got a bid too.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was stunned, not because Calvin doesn't deserve a bid, because they're a really good team, but just based on their record, I thought that they had you know, a couple more losses than Hope. I thought that Hope might have had a sliver of a chance if they lost to Calvin.
Yeah.
But I really didn't think Calvin had a shot, you know, with three losses to Hope and then getting the at-large bid, but they did. Great for Calvin. That's cool. Great for the MIAA. It's great for the area. You know, they're a dangerous team. I mean, it's hard to take when we see these teams in their rivalry all the time. You know, it's hard to take out and look at them objectively, because rivalry games, anything can and does happen. We've seen it with, you know, in all layers of things. I mean, we saw the Holland girls basketball is having one of their best years, and they got crushed by Holland Christian early in the year because it's a rivalry game, and they hadn't beaten Holland Christian in forever. And there's a mental side of things. And I really would have loved to see them play again later in the season. You know, who knows who would have won, but I'm sure it would have been closer than
Absolutely.
The game was, but you got to take it out of the rivalry context. And that's the same thing with Calvin. Most of the time we only see them in the rivalry context. But this is a really dangerous team that has a lot of weapons. And Hope, it knows them so well, it's easier for them to neutralize each other, both teams. So very cool for the MIAA to see that, you know, that both for the men and the women, they're getting two representatives from the MIAA this year. And obviously trying to get to host.
You talk about Calvin, like even on the women's side, like Calvin didn't make the NCAA tournament this year, but I was going through the history of them when Calvin played Hope on Friday for the third time, and Hope obviously, you know, demolished them. And sort of as reporters, I feel like you and I are sort of used to Hope just running over Calvin, and we don't really consider the Calvin women's team as to be like a powerhouse because they're not really going to compete in the MIAA, at least in the next couple of years, because of Trine and Hope. But look at their record over the last 3 years. Their head coach, Mark Christner, if take away teams named Hope and Trine, he's 40-9.
Right.
They're like 18-4 this year.
Right. I mean, it's a good team. And like, it's not even, you know, it's just Trine has kind of taken the mantle spot of that number two or co-favorite team. Before 5 years ago, there was two decades where Hope and Calvin were Hope and Trine in the women's side. And Calvin made it to the Final Four. And the Hope women have obviously won a title and made it to the Final Four another time. The Calvin women made the Elite Eight a few times. You know, they're like, that was it. Like, they did everything they could to have Hope and Calvin on opposite sides of the NCAA bracket because there was a chance that they could meet in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I mean, I've covered several games where for the women, where the Hope and Calvin were both in the top five.
Yeah.
Just kind of like Hope and Trine are now. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see here in the next couple of years with their newer coach, they get some recruits, you know, how that comes into play, because like you said, I mean, they got to get some kind of amazing freshman for them to unseat Hope or Trine next year.
Yo, yeah.
And probably the year after.
Well, because they have their best players leaving too.
You're right. So, I mean, so you got, you know, but 2-3 years from now, if they're doing a good job recruiting, who knows? You know, it would be lovely to see a three-headed monster in the MIAA rather than just two. That would just be a lot more fun. We haven't had that in a while. There was 1 year, like Trine's first year of being real good. They had that. It was Hope, Calvin, and Trine, and I'm pretty sure they all three made the NCAA tournament. But it's just, it's really fun. So you got to sometimes, like you said, like we were saying, you got to take things out of the scope of the rivalry. So good for the Calvin men. They're playing in Wisconsin. The Hope men will play against Wheaton, Illinois at Wash U in St. Louis. Wheaton's always real good. Hope's played them a lot of over the years in non-conference games and in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be a very tough test for the Flying Dutchman. Wheaton's beatable. And if Hope is shooting the three like they can and like they do in bunches, if they're going in, they got a shot, but it's going to be a struggle if the shots aren't falling because Wheaton's real good. And, you know, NCAA tournament, every little thing is magnified. And also Wash U's real good too. They're obviously hosting. So even if they got through Wheaton, it would be a tough test in the second game. I'm not saying they can't get out of that, but it's they're definitely not favored, and that's okay. I mean, their goal was to win the MIAA and have a shot in the tournament, and that's what they've got. And they have enough talent with Evan Thomas and the outside shooting and the defense that they play. They have a shot to beat anybody, and that's very exciting. It's not like, you know, some years you teams can limp into the tournament and you're like, well, they got no chance.
Yeah.
Hope's got a lot of different things that can be going for them where they can even have you know, one thing not working. As long as the other two things are working, they're in the game, you know? So that's cool. And this will be the time in the NCAA tournament, especially when you're behind, they got Evan Thomas. And that is a huge deal too, because if outside shots aren't falling, you have a go-to scorer. And that is key, as we've, you know, found over the years with both Hope teams in the NCAA tournament. They struggle when they don't have a go-to scorer, because when you get behind, you kind of got to feed the hot hand, or you know, have somebody kind of pull you out of it. And Evan Thomas absolutely is that kind of player. They have other players that can do that too, though, now, which is also exciting. So should be very interesting. But it's definitely going to be a tough, tough test on the road against Wheaton. But it's, you know, exciting for the MIAA champion Dutchman. And then for the Hope women, right, they play in LaRoche.
LaRoche out of Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Mountain Collegiate Conference champions. I don't know much about their women's basketball program, but I am a former Allegheny Mountain Collegiate Conference athlete, so I know a lot about LaRoche. and they're very good at everything. I know that much. But I think I looked them up yesterday. I think their record is something around like 20-5. Their women's basketball team. So they're no slouch. They're certainly not going to come in and you know get absolutely obliterated, or else I don't expect them to. But we'll see. I mean, the MIAA is a better women's basketball conference than the AMCC by leaps and bounds. So could be a blowout. Could be close. But I expect Hope to at least win the first game.
Right, for sure. And that's, I mean, there's the host teams are, you know, seeded out to win, but it doesn't always happen. I mean, the Hope, a few years ago, I think it was either the year before or the year after that Hope was in the finals. So they were in the finals in 2010. So it was either, this is either 2009 or 2011. They hosted the first couple rounds. They lost to Wash U stunningly, you know, in that first weekend. It happens, you know, you gotta play your game. And that's at that point, that was like one of like three Hope home losses since DeVos opened. So, and it was like the only one that Calvin didn't cause at that point. So, so we'll, you know, this Hope's obviously seeded, you know, they're hosting for a reason, you know, just as Trine's hosting for a reason. I'm glad Trine is hosting as well, because, you know, the games are close. Two of their three losses were to Hope, number two team in the country. Yeah. And their other one was to a top 10 team, or at least a top 10 team at the time. Yeah. So
I feel like even if Trine wasn't hosting, no matter where they went, unless they went to DeVos, they would be favored to win the bracket.
Right. So, and this opens up that possible chance that they could meet again later down the road in the bracket, which is always fun. So we'll see what happens, but, those games will be at the first couple games will be at DeVos Fieldhouse this weekend. We'll have full coverage there. But that's not the only playoffs going on. We got high school playoffs going on right now. We had the girls basketball districts openers last night. Yep. You covered West Ottawa against Jenison. What'd you see from the Panthers in their victory?
I mean, just like they have all season, a really good defense. And offense that was good enough to get the job done. Final score was 44-33. Really kind of extended that lead much, much bigger in the fourth quarter. But I mean, halftime, the score was, I think, 13-17. So it was like a really defensive struggle. The Panthers held, they played Jenison, beat Jenison. The last time they played them, Jenison won, but this time they got the better of the Wildcats. West Ottawa held Jenison to a combined 8 points in the second and third quarters. So 4 points each quarter, which is just insane. West Ottawa's offense wasn't doing all that great, but towards the end of the third quarter, they went on an 8-2 run that really gave them a cushion. And then at that point, they just started playing with confidence, even more confidence than they were on defense, knowing that they could, you know, make a go for a steal or interception and get a quick turnover. As opposed to if they're only up by like two or three, they would have played safer. So like that confidence really elevated them, got to a 10, 11 point lead and all that. And it was good. And shout out to Grace Pedersen. She guarded a Tieran Maynard, who's one of the better players in the OK Red. I mean, she's all conference as a sophomore, going to be all conference again this year, I would imagine. She only had 8 points, one field goal, and she hit the field goal with about 5 seconds left in the game when game was already well decided. She's the player that really makes them tick. So being able to shut her down completely for the most part was really impressive. And that was fun to watch.
For sure. And then they're going to play, as of this recording, they will be playing tomorrow against Zeeland West. Zeeland West beat Granville 36-33 in the final seconds, but turned the tide with a 9-0 run in the early in the second half. and then kind of held them off from there. Zealand West is a really interesting team because
very interesting.
They got a lot of talent. They can run. They can play transition. They can play good defense. Most of their games are pretty low scoring, but they're 12-9. It's still not a where you thought, you know, maybe thought they would be with, you know, a talented 6'3" post player plus, you know, some guards that can that can play. So, but it's the tournament time, so doesn't really matter anymore whether they were 12-9 or 9-12 or 1-20 or whatever. They'll play West Ottawa. It should be a decent game. Like both teams are, it's a low score, going to be a low scoring defensive kind of style game. Like both of their games were on Monday. The game's at the Dutch Dome in Holland, and they will play before Holland faces number 2 Hudsonville. But Holland to get there, the Holland girls won their first district game since 2009, which is quite a long time ago. And they dominated Zealand East from the start. Zealand East scored the first basket of the game, and then Holland made 4 of their next 5 shot attempts, and they were all threes, and they made 6 threes in the first quarter and 8 threes overall and just won by a ton, and they just got it done. The energy kept moving. It wasn't one person either. The six threes came through 4 people, and they were really moving the ball. And then Ari Gray had a huge game without hitting a three, and she ended up leading them in scoring. So they were able to build the lead with threes and then pound it inside and play good defense. Tough loss for the Chicks. They had won 3 of their last 4 coming into it after not having won a game all season. Then they closed the regular season winning 3 of their last 4, which is about as much momentum as you can get when you lose your first 15. You know, they figured some things out, and Maddie sure had some big games for them down the stretch, and she was held to 1 3-pointer against Holland. They played good defense on her, and you know, she ended up having to, you know, rush a few shots because they were behind by quite a bit. They couldn't find much rhythm on offense. So it should be interesting. I mean, Holland's going to play Hudsonville. On paper, Hudsonville is clearly the better team. But how cool that for the first time since 2009, the Dutch get an extra game. And they get to host it. And they get to host a team that I think could win the state championship.
I'd say Hudsonville's about ranked 2 or 3 in the country.
They're ranked 2 right now. I'm not really sure how they're not 1, but you know, that's out of my control. But this is a team that made the final, you know, made that march to the final last year, and has, you know, most of their studs returning, and they've been playing great. Yeah. So that's what you want. You want to be in the playoffs, having won in the playoffs, to earn a shot to play the best. And I think that's really cool. So it's going to be really, whatever happens against Hudsonville, it's going to be a really cool thing. That Holland gets to host that game in the Dutch Dome. So then we'll also have Holland Christian and Hamilton will be playing not against each other. They'll be playing back to back in their district, hoping to face each other in the final. And then Saugatuck had a bye. They'll be playing Potter's House, who beat Black River on Monday, and Fenville lost their district open on Monday. So we got three different districts with action. Lots of teams amongst those districts, though. So should be some pretty exciting basketball coming up. Yeah. So then we got boys districts next coming up next week in the same Division I district. Zealand East and West Ottawa are playing each other in the first round. Jenison versus Holland and Zealand West versus Granville. And then in Division III, Saugatuck will be playing Potter's House and Fenville will be playing Black River. Holland Christian and Hamilton are in an interesting division where they both have a bye. And so they won't be playing on Monday. They'll be playing Wednesday. Holland Christian will play the Hopkins Wayland winner and Hamilton will play the Allegan Hastings winner. So just really kind of an interesting situation. Just overall, I think, Will, we've seen a lot of West Ottawa boys, Zealand East boys, Holland boys, Zealand West boys, obviously. We've seen Jennison, we've seen the Jennison and the Granville boys a little bit, but not nearly as much. But it seems like that Division One district is very up for grabs, which is kind of fun. Any of those teams, you know, West Ottawa and Zeeland West played early in the season, and Zeeland West won on a buzzer beater. Zeeland East and West have split with each other. Holland has beaten both Zeeland East and West, I believe, and they at least took West to overtime.
I know they beat East. I was at that game. I don't know.
They beat East, and they at least took West to overtime one of the times. And, you know, and Holland and West versus West Ottawa was a decent game at the beginning of the year, too. So it's just it's really interesting. The level is very even throughout. So anything could happen. Should be exciting. Zeeland versus West Ottawa, Jennison versus Holland, Zeeland West versus Granville. And, you know, we'll see, kind of see where things go from there. They, like I said, they all could win, but they will all not win. it's one of the closest districts I can remember as far as, you know, teams going in there. Now Hudsonville has a bye in that district. So Hudsonville will play the West Ottawa Zeeland East winner, but Hudsonville, I'm pretty sure West Ottawa split with them through the year too. So it's not like they're a couple years ago, they were head and shoulders above everybody, and it is not the case this year. So that should be interesting. It looks to be set up for a possible Holland Christian Hamilton final, which is always fun. That rivalry is really fun. So
it would be at Hamilton, right?
I'm not sure.
The
girls are hosting at Hamilton. Okay. So I don't think that is where that game is, but I will check as we're speaking. So is there anything, I mean, what's your take on, obviously Fenville will be favored against Black River. Yeah. Wayland is hosting that district with Holland Christian and Hamilton.
Okay.
So Fenville, who knows, they can make a run, but they also got Covenant Christian and Triunity Christian and those other, you know, a lot of teams that are tough in the postseason after that first round matchup. So it's it could be kind of like the girls. The level of play has evened, and the level of the bottom of our teams has risen considerably across the board. So the games are more competitive. The games are very exciting, but we don't have a team like Zeeland East boys last year that was 19-1 that could make a big run in the playoffs, or in years before that, the Hamilton girls, you know, won 5 districts in a row and kept going and won a couple regionals and were in the state semifinals one year, quarterfinals another year.
After that, on the boys side, that Zeeland East team, and it's not even remotely close to what it was last year, is Holland Christian. I think they're the only team that's well above 500. I think they have 14 wins.
Right.
And everybody else is hovering around 500, either a game or two above or a game or two below.
Right. And their district seems to be played out for Holland Christian to be the favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, are they in the same district as Hamilton, right?
Yeah, they both, and they are their two teams with the byes.
Yeah. And so Hamilton, I mean, Holland Christian went 2-0 against Hamilton in the regular season. First time it was a bit of a blowout. Second time it was much closer, but the Maroons sort of pushed their lead up in the fourth quarter and made it a little more comfortable. But maybe third time's a charm, but I just, you know, I beat a team.
It's hard to bet against any team that's got Jalen Overway. I mean, to be honest,
Jalen Overway's not having a good night. You know, they got Adam Crozy too.
They got a lot of talent on that team, and it's just when things are not going well, you could just dump it into the post and Jalen will get it done.
Yeah.
At least 3 out of 4 times down there. And that's all you need, you know.
Hamilton certainly has players with like Brady Tebow and Brant Goodpaster and you know, Thano
McElwain,
players, but they're not nearly as, when you go to a Holland Christian game, you know, Adam and Jalen are going to be at their peak that night.
Right.
When you go to a Hamilton game, like maybe one of them will be really good that night. Maybe the other two will just be serviceable. I don't think I've seen a game where all three of them are like firing on all cylinders.
Right. And that's not to say it couldn't happen. And that's what makes Hamilton a dangerous team in the playoffs because of that, because they have things spread out a little bit more. And if everybody's, I get what you're saying. Usually they kind of rely on who's got the hot hand, but it's usually one or one and a half people that have the hot hand. If they can get three people have a hot hand,
then watch out.
And that changes the dynamics quite a bit. And Hamilton, Nick Cronemeyer is a very good coach, and he has done some things in the postseason that have been interesting, that have worked and almost worked at times. So a couple years ago, they were not even probably on paper as good as they are this year. And they were playing Benton Harbor in the districts at the Civic Center. And Benton Harbor was ranked number 2 in the state and had the person who won Mr. Basketball.
Yeah.
Scooby Johnson, I think his name was. So their plan was, there's no way, if they get behind, there's no way.
Yeah.
So their thing was, we're just going to shoot all threes.
It's bold, but I like it.
And it worked. In the first, I mean, it didn't work. They didn't win the game. But, like, they were in the game at halftime. You know, they were they kept it way closer than everybody thought because they were on a different side of the bracket. Benton Harbor had just beaten Holland Christian in the first round of the districts, which should have been the final because this was before they seeded it. Okay. Holland Christian was even better than they are this year.
Yeah.
And they had to play each other in the first round. And it was a great game. It was a great game. It was, you know, decently close, and, you know, it was a very exciting basketball. And then they played Hamilton next, and you're thinking, all right, well, they beat Holland Christian by 11 or whatever, 9 or whatever it was. They're going to kill Hamilton. Well, Hamilton's just like, we're going to keep shooting threes. And they just, a lot of them went in for early on. They started to, Benton Harbor pulled away a little bit in the second half. Benton Harbor themselves hit a couple of threes right before halftime, which really changed the momentum, if I remember correctly. But they changed things up. And in every district for the thing, Nick Cronemeyer has been able to change up the plan and pull something out of the hat like that. And, you know, whether it works or not, he's given his team the best shot that they can have. And so who knows what he's going to pull? I mean, after you saw Holland Christian crushed them in the first game.
Yeah. And like I said, the second game was much closer.
And so maybe there's some adjustments there, but I mean, obviously Brad Jansen is a really good coach too. Yes, so he'll see some things like that. Brad hasn't been here as long, so I haven't seen anything he's had to pull out of the hat for a district game or anything like that.
Well, I mean, they made it to, I think, the regional final last year, right? Or district final.
District final.
And like nobody thought they would be that good.
Right.
They only lost by like 2 points to, I don't remember what team it was, but it was like a really good team.
Right. Unity, right? Wasn't it? Maybe.
It was somebody who ended up making a relatively deep run. In the district finals, you already have made a relatively deep run. But
right. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. But I like that the level of play has evened out. And we might get to that point where we could have no girls win their district, no girls teams. Girls basketball overall has been so good that it's, you know, I mean, we got Hudsonville obviously is in there.
Yeah.
And
I would imagine either Holland Christian or Hamilton would win their district because, I mean, they're going to play each other in the – all they need to do is win the semifinals, then they're going to play each other in the final. So
right, then somebody will win. Yeah, but it's just an interesting thing. But I like that we're – that more teams have a shot. I mean, for years, Holland never had a shot. Even before the last, you know, it comes and goes. The shot comes and goes for Saugatuck. They've obviously been quite good the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The last few years. But, you know, I mean, we've been so used to just having Hamilton make deep runs every year that it's nice that other teams are catching up. Zeeland West caught up this year and Holland. You know, Zeeland East took a little bit of a dip this year, but that was expected when they, you know, graduated 4 starters and then their top 2 players off the bench as well. So, you know, we weren't expecting them to have a big up year, but that doesn't mean they won't now. I mean, they got a lot of young talent now, so we'll see how that goes the next couple of years. So, yeah, should be interesting with the boys' districts, but we'll have full coverage of that too. Remember, everybody, to vote for the Athlete of the Week, which it comes out Sunday evening, and voting lasts until noon on Wednesdays. So get out there and vote for that. And
I feel like before we log off, we should mention just, you know, I don't know. I guess we're allowed to say good luck, right? We're objective. We're, you know, good luck to the 14, good luck to the 14 individual wrestlers heading to Ford Field this weekend, especially the five girls who, you know, are the first girls from any of their schools to make it to the state wrestling tournament. So congratulations to them and good luck this weekend.
Very cool. And we'll have more talk about that and break down how they did next week at our podcast. But yes, we are absolutely allowed to say good luck to all the wrestlers out there. Very cool that we've got an actual girls wrestling state tournament. And that we have in that first year, we have five girls from the area going. Very cool.
Four from West Iowa, one from Holland, which are the only two schools that have girls wrestlers on their team.
Right. And so, and then we've got a handful of fellas too. And so it should be pretty action packed at Ford Field. And we'll, you know, we'll have more of that. We also have got Zealand Bowling will be at the state tournament this weekend. Yep. And they're a couple years removed from a state championship, and we'll see how they do. And then the Grand Valley basketball starts their GLIAC tournament this week. The women are ranked number two in Division II now, and they have, I think they went 21-1 in the regular season.
They only lost one game. Yeah. They're only getting,
and they avenged that loss because it was to Saginaw Valley, and they beat Saginaw Valley on Saturday. So they have avenged their only loss. Now they head to the GLIAC tournament as the host. So they will play Wednesday in the first round. The semifinals are Saturday and the finals are Sunday. And then off the NCAA tournament after that. No matter what happens in the GLIAC tournament, they're going to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And then the men will see what happens with the GLIAC tournament. Obviously, I would say they might have to win the GLIAC. They probably have to win the GLIAC tournament to get a bid.
Yeah,
they have the talent to do it. They've just had a lot of really close losses this year. Yeah. They lost to Saginaw Valley on Saturday by 2 points. They've had a lot of those kind of games. So if they can finish some games, they could be in the finals. So we'll see how that goes too. So, but we'll have coverage of that as well. HollandSentinel.com and all the Hope Action basketball, both in Holland and from St. Louis. So those games, if you're not planning on driving to St. Louis, there'll be a live stream on a Hope's Athletic website that they will have that. I think all the NCAA games will be live streamed somewhere. So all those links will be there on the Hope website. And but if you can get to DeVos to watch the Hope women, I mean, this is a very special team. So Take your chance now to get a chance to watch them if you haven't, or even if you have, and then also high school, support your team. This is it. We're in the playoffs now. You know, everything is everything's magnified. Everything is win or go home. So it's exciting, thrilling, exhilarating, heartbreaking. It's got all the emotions. So this is the best part of sport. You know, when you get all the emotions rolling into one, it's pretty fun. So. But yeah, vote for the athlete of the week and get out and watch some sports, and we will break down the first part of the playoff coverage next week in our podcast. So for Will, I'm Dan. Have a good week, everybody.